If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, just the first two verses. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." As we come to God's Word, let's go to Him in prayer first, shall we? Father, once again, we ask You to not make this just a speech that people have to listen to, but Lord, may these be words, or can You use these words to speak to each of our hearts? Lord, may the Spirit be with us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but Christmas seems like a long time ago already. And all that's left is all the cleanup. Next week at this time, Linda's not going to have to hide behind the Christmas tree when she's trying to direct the choir, for example. I hope you all had a good Christmas, a good time with family and friends, eating, celebrating, and probably exchanging presents. Did you get any presents you weren't expecting? Any surprises? You know, it feels good to get presents, but doesn't it make you feel better to be able to give presents? To see someone's eyes light up when they open a present, especially one that they weren't expecting? I suspect that most of us would say that much as we like receiving presents, we'd rather be able to give presents to others. Isn't that why we spend so much time and energy in searching for just the right present, the right gift? What's your response when you get a present? Often we say thank you and sometimes give a person a hug. In the Carlson family, since much of our family and a lot of our friends are far away, we often call the people we get presents from to thank them. And also, since we're old school, we take time to send handwritten thank you notes to anyone who gives us a present. Just like we enjoy giving presents, I think we all enjoy getting thanks from those to whom we give presents. We like to feel that our efforts, our thoughts in coming up with just the right gift are appreciated. And if someone gives you a really special present, don't you want to do a little more than just saying thank you? Don't you want to do something special, something nice for them in return? On the Sunday after Christmas, the day we celebrate God's gift to mankind, the Savior of the world, it seemed appropriate to talk about God's many gifts to us and how we can say thank you to Him. Today's scripture is about saying thank you to God for His gifts. Again, not just the baby in a manger, but the gifts that come because of that miraculous birth and because of God's love and mercy for us. As we saw last week in John 3:16, it was because of God's love and mercy for the world that Jesus was born in a manger, so that later He could sacrifice His life, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Matthew 20:28 puts it this way, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." But God's gifts go beyond the awesome gift of eternal life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life, and have it to the full," or as other translations say, more abundantly. For that reason, Jesus said in John 14:12, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." For that matter, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, begin verse 13. We read, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is our deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." We need to thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who indwells and guides each person who's accepted God's gift of eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. 1 John 1:9 is a verse many of you know. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103 verse 12 explains that as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. We need to thank God for the gift of forgiveness of sin. Other gifts from God are listed on the banners behind me. Hope, peace, joy, love. For that matter, as Christians, He's given each one of us the fruit of the Spirit. Then Romans 8, which we read, I think, last week, reminds us that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We could go on, but there are many gifts and promises from God. And we need to thank God for all of His gifts. When you made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, you gave Him your soul. But when Paul wrote, therefore, in today's scripture, he was saying that in light of all that God has given you, that is in view of God's mercy, God deserves more. Paul began by urging. Really, it's a command. He gently commanded Christians to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In gratitude and thankfulness for all of His gifts, beginning with the eternal life, God deserves your body. Think about it. In order to accomplish God's will on earth, Jesus Christ had to take on Himself a human body. Now each Christian needs to use his or her body to Christ so that God might continue to do His work through each one of us. If God is going to build you and work through you, if you're going to experience the peace that passeth all understanding, if you're going to have an abundant life, God needs your mouth, your head, your feet, your eyes. He needs all of you. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Begin verse 12. Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 12. Paul wrote, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. In these verses in Romans 12, Paul went on to write how one is to offer his body to God in thanks. First he said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is an offering that's given willingly. Paul was urging Christians to give themselves completely and willingly to God. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David wrote, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Actually, as Christians, we really have no claim on this body. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Begin verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who have you received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Now your body really does belong to God. Therefore, honor God with your body. This sacrifice that Paul wrote about is a living sacrifice. And as we've said before, the problem with being a living sacrifice compared to the dead sacrifices of the Old Testament is that living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar. Because each one of us is a living, breathing being, not a dead sacrifice, we need to continually re-give ourselves to God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, I die every day. That is, he gave himself to God daily. Like Paul, we need to daily, continually give ourselves to God. And when we offer God the living sacrifices of ourselves, He won't misuse what we give Him, but He purifies it and makes it better, not only for His glory, but for our present good and our eternal good. Actually, the more we give, the more we have. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then second, this sacrifice is to be holy and pleasing. Holy means separated from sin, without blemish or defect. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." And just like the Old Testament sacrifices, we're to give God our best, the first fruits. We need to give God our best in terms of talents, abilities, even our time. Bible study and prayer time shouldn't just be when and if we get time, but should happen when we're at our best. God deserves nothing second rate. He gave His best for us. Shouldn't we do the same for Him? These are the things that are pleasing, or as the King James Version says, acceptable to Him. Considering the gifts God has given each one of us, to please Him should be our highest aim. And the fact that we do please Him is our highest reward. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. And third, this sacrifice is your spiritual act of worship, as it says in NIV. The word spiritual or reasonable in the King James comes from the word, Greek word logos, the word we get the word logic and logical from. In other words, Paul really was saying that considering that all that God has done for us, the only logical or reasonable action, and therefore spiritual action, is to give our bodies to God. When we recognize God for who He is, when we give our bodies to Him, it honors and pleases Him. We're worshiping Him even as we serve Him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, begin verse 15. The writer of Hebrews writes in verse 15 of Hebrews 13, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." As well as prayer, praise and thanksgiving, true worship includes serving God by serving others in His name. In gratitude, God deserves your body as a living sacrifice, and a sacrifice is an offering given willingly, holy and pleasing. Holy means without sin. And we are to give God our best as a spiritual act of worship. And spiritual really means here logical. Then Paul went on to say that God deserves more than just your body. He also deserves your mind. He deserves your mind. It's in the mind that you make choices. Choices, whether you allow your body to wallow in sin or if you will allow your new nature to control you in holiness. The world is constantly trying to get us to conform, to be like everyone else. It wants to control us. It tries to squeeze us, pressure us into being just like them in our attitudes and our behaviors. The world tries to force each one of us to conform and adopt the world's entertainment and music, the world's fashions, the world's vocabulary, the world's attitudes, priorities, and morals. Even, perhaps the word should be especially, when things clearly do not conform to the standards of God's word. Things like the LGBTQ agenda, abortion, this fluidity of gender that we're going through right now. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Writing to the Christians in Ephesus, Paul writes, "So I tell you this, insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the love of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." When Paul wrote, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed," he was saying, rather than letting the world mold you from the outside, we're to be transformed from the inside. Paul used the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. Paul was saying that each Christian is to undergo a metamorphosis. And just as a caterpillar gradually changes into a beautiful butterfly from the inside out, it undergoes metamorphosis. We are to be transformed from the inside out. And this transformation can only occur by the renewing of your mind. This change is brought about by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces will all reflect God's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Father, who is the Spirit." This transformation is a continuing process. We're never going to be done until we get to heaven. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. So turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning of verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. Paul writes, "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This transformation, this becoming more Christ-like, will happen only if and when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist wrote, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Using God's word, the Holy Spirit is able to renew our minds, which will then transform our whole being. Then as Colossians 3:2 says, "Our reward, or rather renewed mind, will be set on things above and not earthly things." Just like Jesus was able to answer Satan in the wilderness with words from God, we'll be able to resist falling in temptation as we respond with God's words. In thankfulness and in gratitude, God deserves your body, your mind. And finally, Paul says, God deserves your will. If you think about it, your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. No matter how one tries, willpower is not enough to overcome temptation. In Romans 7:15, the Apostle Paul cried, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." It's only when we surrender our will to God that we have the power, God's power, to be victorious Christians. We need to surrender our will to God and pray as God did in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, "Not my will, but yours be done." This is the only way we can test and approve God's will. This is the only way to know what God wants and then be able to do it, which leads to the abundant life that he has promised us. With the Spirit's help, we'll be able to put aside our plans and in faith accept God's good and pleasing plans, no matter the cost. We know that God's plans are good and pleasing and perfect, but we need to do more than just know it. We must act on it and yield to him. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." God will not force us into anything. He does not dominate our wills, but he allows us to choose to obey his will. This morning, as we remember Christmas and God's gifts to us, I challenge each Christian here to do more than just remember. Daily, willingly, give God your body, your mind, and your will, as well as your soul, to be used for his honor and his glory. If you think about it, if you haven't accepted God's gift of eternal life, if Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, today's sermon really hasn't been for you. You have nothing to thank God for. You can choose to accept God's sacrifice for your sins and have eternal life in heaven, or you can refuse God's gift and spend eternity in hell. It was Jesus, again, not Pastor Steve, not some theological guru. It was Jesus who said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ is the only way anyone can have eternal life in heaven. God in his wisdom created each one of us with free will. For that reason, you have a choice whether or not to give God your body, your mind, and will. But remember, in Matthew 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is now with me is against me." Earlier in Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either will he hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." So I guess a question for each of you to ask, who is your master? Who controls your body, your mind, your will? Have you given yourself to God in complete surrender? Is he truly your Lord? The answer to that question will determine your ability to enjoy God's limitless resources. When you stop and consider what God has given you as a gift, he gave the best in all that he had. Shouldn't you do the same in return? Let me close by rereading Romans 12, 1 and 2, but this time reading from the New Living Translation. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let there be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Let's pray. Lord, that's one of these sermons where sitting in the sanctuary, it's easy to be all nodding our heads, saying, "Yes, this makes sense." But Father, when we leave this building, there are so many other things vying for our wills, our minds, our bodies. Lord, help us to discern what you would have us to do. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves totally, completely to you. And then, Lord, may we walk as you would have us to walk. And may we share the good news of who Jesus is. But, Lord, it begins with us. So, Lord, again, I pray that we each would give ourselves completely and totally to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.